Okay, Rabosai. Okay, we covered a lot of Gemara, and we'll continue to do so as we try to get to Tarfa Kalpi as soon as possible. The sugya we'll focus on this morning for the Chabura, even though on the Mar Makomos I gave some koros on the topic of Shechita B'Miyat Basra, just because it's a very, very important thing to be aware of. Really mostly a Chulin sugya, but we should be aware that Rashi seems to be of the opinion that if you do the post Rov Simanim, it still is Ma'akev, a very important concept just to have aware in general. But for the Chabur this morning, I'm going to focus on the topic of Ein Ma'avirin Al Hamitzos, which comes up here on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and elsewhere in Shas. So it comes up a number of places in Shas, and it's really a sugya which partially a lot of the discussion of it is a question of general areas of precedence. You know, so if I have to weigh, you know, Tadir Rishena Tadir, if I have to weigh Mavir and after a Kiddush, there are a lot of different, you know, precedence topics, which we're not going to go through all of them. If you want the Encyclopedia Talmudit, it was volume Aleph. So, you know, good news and bad news of the very, very early volumes of the Encyclopedia Talmudit. On the one hand, they were much shorter, so not nearly as thorough. You know, you don't have the exhaustive presentation. On the other hand, you can actually spend like an hour and a half, and actually feel like you have a very good tefis on the whole sugya from those early pieces. So there, Ayin Shem, and he does a good job just going through different shitos on weighing X versus Y, weighing X versus Z, etc. But what we'll focus on, we tried to get to just the fundamentals of the sugya, and I think that there are two main questions for us to ask. And one question is, this whole din of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos, is this din b'chlal midoraisa or midrabanan? That's one major question with ramifications. The other question is, when we say ein ma'avirin al hamitzvos, we got to define what this term ma'avirin means. You know, don't pass over a mitzvah. Well, there are many ways that could be envisioned. So what exactly are we being prohibited to do? And what exactly is the source for that prohibition? Now, the way the Bali...
Dictor question.
Sure.
Ma'avirin means pass something over something else. Do you have a sense as to why you use that word?
Well, I mean, in overin would sound like you're.
Meaning to be over is to pass over. Ma'avir means to pass something else over.
It could also mean you're violating, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Good. So I'll defer to the dictic experts, but you got to give me a better alternative, and that one I would not find a better alternative. So, good. So the Bali Tos get into this in order to understand the basics of the conversation. So we have to be aware of the main sugya's hand. You know, the truth is, even before we get to all the different Gemaras, we should note Rashi right away al Atar tells us what's the makor for this, and it sounds like from Rashi that it's a din d'oraisa. So Rashi tells us we learn it from the Mechelta Mushmarta Mesamatz Etzamatzos Karibe Esamitzvos Lo Tamtin Leishatach Mitzvot Yashin. So just like you don't want to let your matzos sit there and become chametz, so too you should not delay with your mitzvah and let your mitzvah get old. So this doesn't sound like it has anything to do with skipping one mitzvah in favor of another. It sounds like a concept analogous to Zrizin Makdimin. We'll see, the Achronim have to labor how to distinguish between them. You have a mitzvah, do it. Don't mess around, do it right away. Right, that's the implication you get from the makor that Rashi quotes. It sounds from Rashi like this is a din d'oraisa. It sounds from our Gemara like this is a din d'oraisa, because our Gemara is using this, is going through the whole Seder Avoda in the morning, and a number of these steps are certainly, or at least seem to be certainly, mid'oraisa. So, for example, we said the Ma'aracha Shnia came before the Shnei Gizreitzim, and we were Medayik in the Psukim, right? Mechla Olev lo Chaverta. It sounds like there actually is a second ma'aracha before you put on the Shnei Gizri Eitzim. We had the whole discussion on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where you had the two babokers, and we had the five neros, and the two neros, and the ketores, all fighting over, the Dama Tamid, all fighting over which one gets a baboker, which one doesn't get a baboker. On one hand, those were kind of strangely mudim, but it certainly sounded like this was a question of drashos and a question of dinam d'oraisa. And then we had at the bottom of the yamid behitivo eseneros yakti rena to prove that the two neros come before the ketores. You already have the neros lit before the ketores is being burned. We had baboker at the end of the gemara to tell us that the ketores is burned before the evari hatamid are burned. All of these were a mida oraisa. It sounded like the Gemara was telling us, on a deoraisa level, let's learn out what are the stages of the avoda for each day. And in that context, the Gemara said, well, of course, we're going to have to do the dishon, mizbacha, ktores, before we light the menorah at all, because in avir and al hamitzvos, when the kohen walks into the heichal, the first thing he bumps into, bam, is the mizbacha ktores, because we learn that, as Rav Moshe Nachasi talked about the other day, the relationship between the menorah and the shulchan, so those two, nochach ha-shulchan, those two are supposed to be in parallel, supposed to be in conversation with each other, and that means that we have the mizbeach a little bit farther east, a little bit farther out. That's the first thing the kohen bumps into. So it sounds from Rashi like this is a din d'oraisa. It sounds from the Gemara like this is a din d'oraisa. On the other hand, even at the level of Rashi, we should note that it is a bit of a strange makar. No, let's be honest here. Al Tikri X L O Y. I mean, right away that gets our antenna up. Like, what kind of drusha is that to play around with the words? It's a little bit of a funny marker. Okay, but certainly that is the mashmos of our Gemara. So you look at the Masoras HaShas, and it gives us a number of other places to look. The Bali Tos gives us a number of other places to look as well. And so let's just do a quick survey of the Gemaras we have to have in mind. So number one, our Gemara, which used Ein Ma'avirin for two contexts. One for the context of cleaning the Mizbach HaKetores before we light the menorah. Then number two, our Gemara also used it, although it was unclear what exactly our Gemara used it for, when the Gemara talked about the Shel Yad coming before the Shel Rosh. According to Rashi, that meant put on the Shel Yad before you put on the Shel Rosh, because you're going to have tefillin in your hand, and tefillin in your hand, if you then put it on your head, that's in Mavir and Alamitzos. Interesting, it sounded from the Peshat and Rashi, like even though this is ostensibly a Tfilah Shel Rosh, when that Shel Rosh is in your hand, the Yad says, hey, this is supposed to be my opportunity to get the mitzvah. That was the second application we had in our Gemara. And we had Yuma Nun Chasim Abeis, where Rabbi Akiva, and this will be a very important Gemara for Yom Kippur when we get to it. So Rabbi Akiva says that when the Kohen Gadol is taking the dam of the Soyer, the dam of the Par, and he takes them out from the Paroches, so then it's time to have the Matnos Dam and the Hazos on the Mizbach HaKetores. And Rabbi Akiva says, you would think the Matnos Dam, and there's one on every single corner, so you would think you would begin from the westernmost corner, because if he's coming from the Paroches, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to hit the Mizbach HaKetores on the western side, that's the closest side to the Kodesh HaKadashim. So you would have thought he starts from there because of Ein Mavir and Al HaMitzvos. But then Shema Milano, the Torah says, V'yatza El HaMizbeach, that the Kohen Gadol has to do a yitziyah, he has to leave, and therefore he goes all the way to the far side of the Mizbeach, and he begins the Matnos Dam on the eastern side. So that's going to be a very, very important piece of Gemara when we try to understand what exactly is happening with the different components of the Avodas Adam inside the Kodesh HaKadashim and the Paroches and the Mizbeach. Are these one Ma'arechad? Are they three? Why is this called the Yetziyah? The point for us that's important for now, though, is that you would have thought you start in the west. No, keep going another Amma so that you can begin on the east, and this overrides the general rule of Ein Ma'avir. That's the second Gemara, and that's application number three. Application number four was the Gemara in Yuma Ayin Amid Aleph, where the Gemara talks about some people see the Srefa of the Chataos and Esrafos, and you can't see that and hear the Kohen Gadol lane at the same time. So the Gemara says you might have... How does the Gemara even bring in Ein Ma'avir? You might have thought that because of Rav Amhadras Melech, you should... Yeah, because of Rav Amhadras Melech, I guess you should stay where you are. And the Gemara says, no, apparently you can go to one, you can go to the other. Apparently that's not considered Ma'avir. And Rashi had a very important comment. Why is there no Ein Ma'avir and Alamitzos in the context of Rav Amhadras Melech? Because you're not doing anything. Rashi says, Einu Asukba. You're not involved in any mitzvah. So apparently, just being present, Rav Amhadras Melech, having some Kiyum Ba'alma, that does not meet the bar for Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos. Again, the truth is, this sounds like it's a, maybe sounds like it's a Dindar Raisa. If it was a Dindar Abanan, in general, the broader the scope of the din is, the easier it is to say it's midrabanan, and then the narrower the scope is, the easier it is to say it's midoraisa. So look, if it was just a nice idea, ba'alma, that you should, you know, if there's a good, positive schar opportunity, you shouldn't abandon it. Why shouldn't Rav Amhadras Melech make the cut? Why should we say, no, it's only if you're asuk in a mitzvah? So that seems to work nicely for the view of Rashi, that it is midoraisa, just a ha'ara on that. Okay, three Gemaras left to go. So then we have Menachos Samach Dalet Amud Beis about the mitzvah Sa'omer. The Mishnah says that it's a mitzvah to bring the Omer from the closest available grain. The Gemara asks, why should you bring it from the closest available grain? The Gemara gives two answers. One answer is because the Pasuk says you bring from the Carmel, the nice soft grain, and if you harvest the grain from farther away, it's going to dry out and it's not going to be as fresh and soft. That sounds like an internal din for the Karban HaOmer. And the Gemara says, the other reason is, Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos, and the members of the Bezdin who are going to leave Yerushalayim in order to harvest the grain, so we don't want them walking by some barley fields to go harvest some other barley fields. That sounds like it's a problem of Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos. Okay, let's just keep plowing through the last two Gemaras we need to have aware before we even begin talking about this, really. So the Gemara on Vav Mebez talked about the set up for a leap year. You have a leap year. What do you do with Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, Bikur Megillah? When do you read the Megillah? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi said, Korin ba'Adar Rishon, because in Ma'avirin al HaMitzvos. So don't push off the Megillah till Adar Beis. Read the Megillah during Adar Aleph. Right? And then finally, the last.
That's very
curious. It's a strange one. It's a strange one. And Tori Evan is going to be all over it. Very, very weird. Very, very weird. And finally, we have Zvachim and Aleph Mebez, which the Gemara there is talking about the Shayare Hadam of the Chatos Apnimios, even not on Yom Kippur, sorry, in general, all Chatos Apnimios, their blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaKtores, and it's sprinkled on the Paruches. On Yom Kippur, that's also sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadashim on the Kapores. What do you do with the leftover dam? So the Torah says you bring it out and you spill it on the Yesod Mizbeach, which is Asher Al Pesach Ohel Moed. So the Gemara learns from the fact that it's Al Pesach Ohel Moed that you pour the leftover blood by the part of the Yesod which is facing the west, i.e. which is closest to the Heichal. Now here the problem is that the Gemara did not mention Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos, and this is what the Bali Tosfos bring up. It sounds like this should have been an eligible candidate. After all, the Gemara literally says, Al Yesod was Ba'al Ha'olah Asher, Hahuda Paga Baresha. Asher Pesach Ohel Moed tells you the first part of the Yesod that you went into, and that happens to be the westernmost side. We should have learned that from Ein Ma'avirin. Just like Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara Yumin El Ches, said, he walks out of the Kodesh HaKadashim, so Ein Ma'avirin tells me, I would have thought he should go right away to the western side of the Mizbeach HaZav. So too, when he does the Shvich HaShirayim, I shouldn't need a special pasuk. I should have just thought from Ein Ma'avirin that he goes to the western side of the Yesod. Okay. So those are the six Gemaras that we really have to have in mind, and the seven cases. The case of the Seder Havoda, the case of the Tefillin, the case of Rabbi Akiva and the Mizbeach HaZav, the case of the Mizbeach HaOla, where you're not doing it, the case of the Omer, the Megillah, and Yuma, the Kriyas HaTorah, Sreifa issue. Okay. So, let's first talk about maybe Doraisa Derabanan for a minute, and then we'll talk about the Bali Tosos, and we'll talk about the question of Ein Ma'avirin, we'll discuss the Turi Evan, and then we'll wrap up. So we saw our Rashi quote the Makar from the Mechalta of Ushmarta Mesamatzos. If you saw the Ran in Moed Katan, so the Gemara in Moed Katan, it's a bit of a funny Gemara, the Gemara there in Tess, the bottom of Daf Tess Amud Bottom Testament base, right? Quoted two different pasukim in Mishle. One pasuk in Mishle was sounded like you should always weigh your steps, and the other pasuk in Mishle says you should just go ahead and do it. So the Gemara asks, what is the difference between the two? And the Gemara answered, the difference is, when it's Afshai De'achirim, then you should weigh your options. When it's Afshai De'achirim, you just do whatever it is that you are supposed to, you have the opportunity to do. So the Ran right there says, ah, this pasuk. Where did I have the notes on this? What's the pasuk from Lefales? Right, what exactly was the pasuk? What? Palis. So it's Orach Chaim. I'm mixing the two. But so. Yeah, I'm trying to remember because one of those was one of the Lefales. There was Orach Chaim, Lefales, Ragalcha. Maybe was one, and then I don't know the other one. I know one was in Mishlei Perak Dal, one was in Mishlei Perak Hey. The Ran says, ah, we learn from here, right? Torah tell the Mishlei telling you, do not weigh your steps in Avirin al Hamitzos. Now, that marker sounds different from Rashi's marker in terms of what it is focusing upon us to do. The focus of Rashi was you have a mitzvah, don't delay. It sounded like more of a din in what we would call zrizus. The makar the Ran is quoting sounds like more of an issue when you have to choose between two different options. And spoiler alert, we know that this is going to be the chiluk that at least our Tosfos and Tosfos a number of other places is going to make. Our Tosfos is going to suggest that Ein Ma'avirin specifically applies when you are trying to choose between two different mitzvahs. Which is not so super intuitive, right? Like, Rashi makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Don't delay. Tosas and Megillah is going to go after the Tosas here and in other places. There are going to be some achronim, including Rabbi Moshe Spurn, who are going to deny that the Tosas ever even made the claim. But if we have the makar for the Ran in Moed Katan, we should be aware that that really does fit. We think this is a real makar. Now, it does happen to once again be a pasuk in Mishlei. So, you know, we have a funny mechilta. We have, not funny, but, you know, not a classic kind of makar from the mechilta. We have a pasuk in Mishlei. Now, both of these, if you want to say it's mida oraisa, you can get over the issue of it being a bit of a strange makar by saying it's kind of a religiously intuitive din, right? Both of these, if somebody woke you up in the morning and said the halacha is, if you're in the middle of a mitzvah, you know, do it. Or if somebody woke you up in the middle of the night and said, halacha is, if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, do it. You would say that makes sense and you go back to sleep, right? So these both happen to be the kinds of dinim which we could say make sense as a gilui milsa ba'alma. It's not something which I need like a brisker gzeras akasav in order for it to hold together bichlal. But so those are two main makoros which we have, which both seem to shed light on what the nature of Ein Ma'avirin would be. There are two other candidates that are out there in the achronim for what could be a potential makar. One was quoted in the fancy footnotes, the Turei Even, which were available on Yotzer Chachma, and they quoted the Kuntres Achron. So I don't know if it is the Kuntres Achron from the Turei Even, because I'm not aware of a separate, I mean, someone calls his book the Kuntres Achron. You know, there are many, many Sfarim which have a Kuntres Achron. So I'm going to assume that this was the Kuntres Achron of the Turei Even, but full disclaimer, it could be he's quoting some guy out there who's called the Kuntres Achron, who suggests maybe the makar for Ein Ma'avirin al Mitzvos is the Pasafa v'kshartum yos al yodecha v'yutafos ben yodecha. Why would you make that suggestion? Well, our Tosfos on Laman Gilman and Beis got very upset with Rashi. Rashi said the Gemara was using Ein Ma'avirin al Mitzvos, that when the Gemara said Avuri Dra Atotafta, that you shouldn't do that, so you shouldn't skip the Shel, shouldn't pass over the Shel Yad for the Shel Rosh. So Rashi said, we learn from Ein Ma'avirin al Mitzvos that first you put on the Shel Yad, and then you put on the Shel Rosh. So Bali Tosa said that didn't make any sense because the Gemara Menachos already told me, why does the Shel Yad come first? Not because of a din of Ein Ma'avirin, rather because of the pasuk Kushartum La'os Al Yadacha V'yotetafos Be'enecha. So the Tosa says, nah, really what our Gemara means is it's just talking about what order to put your tefillin in the bag to make sure you don't have something unfortunate and take the wrong one out when you pull them out. And we'll come back to this in a couple of minutes. But the obvious problem, which comes out of the read of the Tosos, the Rambam has the same read, the Tosir quoting Rav Haigo, another Rishonim as well, is if we are using Ukshartam La'os Al Yadacha to teach that the Shel Yad comes first, so just like Tosas on Laman Gimel Amad Aleph was so bothered why the Gemara in Zvachim needed a special limud for the Shvicha Shirayim, just use the general din of Ein Ma'avirin, so Tosas on Laman Gimel Amad Beis has walked into the same exact problem. Why do I need Ukshartam La'os Al Yadacha? Use the din klali of Ein Ma'avirin Al Mitzvos. So this Kuntres Achron suggests maybe Hagufa we learn Ein Ma'avirin al Mitzvos because the Torah tells you to put the Shal Yad in front of the Shal Rosh. which is a very interesting possibility. And the last possibility that's out there is maybe we learn Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos from Asher Pesach Al Moed. Right? This could also be the answer to the Tosas question. Tosas said, why don't we have a pasuk for, why do we need a special pasuk for Shvichas Shiraim? Well, that might be why you need, it could be because it's telling you the din of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos. This, who gave this answer? It was Hemekshela, right? Not really. Lachem Eshel said a little bit differently. Okay, right. So we have all these possibilities that is a din d'oraisa. At the same time, if you saw the Me'iri called it a remez. The Me'iri, it sounded like it was midrabanan. The Radvaz in his tshuva, black on white, said that this was din d'rabanan. The mitzvah bal yadcha al tachmitzena is just an asmachta ba'alma. Now, if that's the case, he has to deal with our Gemara, right? That's a little bit difficult. Maybe our Gemara really was just all asmachtas. The Lama Gimel and Beis, all Drasha was an asmachta, and then a couple of pieces. So, the Ketores coming before, the Menorah coming before the Ketores. Okay, so I can, it's a Gilo, is that, maybe that prat is mida oraisa. Some of the pratim are deraisa. Some of them are derabanan. Maybe even that. Maybe he would say it was the Torah creating a chiyuv that has to be that way. Maybe we're just reading and it's all derabanan. Very dachuk. Some of the points in our Gemara are dachuk. On the other hand, the issue of the kash of Balitosis goes away, right? Matosis are asking, what's going on with Shvichas Shiraim? We don't need a makar, right? We're asking Antosis and Longimel Beis, why do you need Sharknos Al Yodacha? Why do you need a makar? What about Ein Mavirin? Those questions are going to go away because he's going to say in general, Midah Raisa, there's no din of Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos. There's a din Derabanan. Happens to be in the context of Shvichas Shiraim, in the context of Tefillin, there the Torah was very machben on which one should come first. Just parenthetically, the fact that there's a din prati for the Shvichas Shiraim, this is something we should keep in mind. Why would it be that there's a din prati, that the Shvichas Shiraim has to be on the yesod of the part that's facing the Heichal? First thing you think is that, this is just going to, in terms of the nature of the Chatos Pnimios, is that in general, Shvichas Shiraim seems like it's just the disposal of the leftovers. But is it possible when it comes to Shvichas Shiraim, we're trying to create some connection between the Mizbeach, the normal Mizbeach of regular Kabanos, and the Heichal? And that's why I want to have the part of the Yesod, which only faces the Heichal. One of the Rishonim, I think it is Rabbeinu Ephraim, is of the opinion that all other Karbanos actually do not have a din of Shvichas Shiraim on the Yesod at all. You could spill the blood wherever you want. He's of the opinion that the only time there's a din of Shvichas Shiraim on the Yesod is for the Chataos HaPnimios. So, just an issue, a Kachem issue to keep in mind. This Chabura is on a general din in Mitzvah, so we should kind of highlight the Kachem issues as they come by. So anyway, the Radvaz, even though it's the Otar Gemara, it explains the strange drashos. It explains the issue of the Makoros, which is bothering the Baliatosos. And it also kind of helps explain how we can cover such a range of cases. All of those Gemaras we quoted earlier really describe different cases. And this is a good chance for us to shift back to the Baliatosos and see that the chilukim that are going to be made. Right? But it's one thing we should keep in mind is that as the Baliatosos are going to make chilukim here, we should be aware. Well, as we understand the sugya more, the wider the range of possible things we can apply Ein Mavirin to, the more you're going to wonder, wait a second, is this din really d'oraisa at all? Or is it just a din d'rabanan? Or maybe something in between, maybe there are dinim d'oraisa of Ein Mavirin, and maybe there are dinim d'rabanan. Maybe there are cases that the Gemara calls Ein Mavirin, but actually mean something else entirely. Okay, so we've outlined the question of d'oraisa d'rabanan, the main arguments in favor of each respective. So now let's go to the Tosas. So again, our Tosas asks, why did the Gemara in Zvachim not mention Ein Mavirin? The Kohen walks out of the Heichal, bam, he hits the westernmost part of the Yesod of the Mizbeach, he spills the blood. I didn't need Asher Pesach Ol Moed to tell me that. So what's the answer? So two basic answers we've already seen. One answer, we said, if this is a din derabanan, then there's no problem. One answer would be, if this is the makar, right? Then you have no problem. If this is the makar, then ayim avir al mitzvos, then you have no problem. But otherwise, you need to somehow be machalik. So the answer that the Tosas has in Menachos and in Tzvachim, here in Yuma, the Shita Gubetzes in Menachos says, this is from the Rashi Shantz, says, right, there's a difference between when you are choosing between two mitzvos and where you have to decide when or where to do a mitzvah. So if you have two different mitzvahs in front of you, that is ein ma'avirin al ha-mitzvahs. We talked before about what is the definition of ein ma'avirin al ha-mitzvahs. What does lahavir mean? So the Rashi Shantz tells us it means to choose one mitzvah instead of the other. Does not really fit with the makar of betzav al yadcha al tachmitzena, which sounds like it's just a din of mitzvah delay. That's what he wants to say, though. He says you have the argamara, the dishun ha-menorah versus... the Dishan HaMizbeach versus the Menorah. You have the Shel Yad versus the Shel Rosh. You have Rabbi Akiva with the Mizbech HaPnimi. There's an Din Ikuva. You must put blood on all four Kranos. Each one of those is a separate Kiyum. And so which one of those is going to come first? However, when you have one Matana, I have to spill the blood here. I have to be Shvich HaShirayim. And I have a whole big Yesod, and I want to know where on the Yesod to do this one mitzvah, says the Rashi Shantz, there we are not going to apply in Ma'avirin al HaMitzvos. Okay, so it's a very, very clear definition of what in Ma'avirin means. It explains very nicely why an our Gemara will say it, Yuma, but in the Gemara and Zvachim we're not going to say it. But the Rishonim already begin to pick at least three Gemaras that we need to clarify if this really makes any sense. Let's tackle the easiest one to answer up first. So we mentioned the Gemara. I did not mention. Sorry. The Gemara on Psachim, Samach Talad. One more case of Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvos. The Gemara on Psachim, Samach Talad, talking about the assembly line of Kohanim on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara said, when you're handing off the full cups of blood and the empty cups of blood, so first you should hand off the full cup, and then you should take back the empty cup. Why? In ma'avirin al ha-mitzvos. So the Nezer HaKodesh points out that if we take the Rashi Shantz very, very seriously, it's unclear that this Gemara fits his chilek, because you do not have two mitzvos over here. You have one mitzvah of holachas hadam, passing the full blood on to the next guy in line, and then you have disposal, right? Taking the empty cup and handing it on its way back. So he asks, why is this Ein Ma'avirin according to the Rashmi Shantz? Now, there are a couple of answers that you can give. Probably the easiest answer to give is to say Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvos means if you're choosing between doing a mitzvah and doing something else. The Nezer HaKodesh is assuming, and this is, as we'll see, the assumption, at least of the Shagas Aryeh, although it's hard to understand why it should be, but he's assuming that Ein Ma'avirin means, literally, I have two mitzvos, and I have to choose between them. If that's how you understand the chiluk, then Nezer HaKodesh's question makes sense, because I don't have two mitzvos over here. It seems like I have a mitzvah, and then I have a reshus ba'alma. However, if you just tweak the answer to the Rashi a little bit, and you say Ein Ma'avirin just means, when you're choosing between a mitzvah and something else, so it's a kol shekin, right? If I'm not going to put down a mitzvah to do another mitzvah, kol shekin. I'm not going to put down a mitzvah in order to change in for a reshus ba'alma, right? If I'm not going to ignore the mizbeach to go do the menorah, then of course I'm not going to ignore the full cup of dam to pass on the empty cup of dam. That's probably the easiest answer to that question. One also maybe could wonder, is there really no mitzvah involved in passing back the empty cup of dam? You know, we say, wouldn't say the Kohen is being asuk in the overall mitzvah of akravas karban pesach. It's not like a formal mitzvah, but it's not a total reshus ba'alma. Not so sure.
It might depend if they're going to use the cup again for the next guy.
So for sure they are. So it's a machshir. You know, is a machshir for the akrava. Is that like a zero? Again, if we think that Ein Ma'avirin is a din derabanan, then it's easier to expand the scope. if we think it's a din d'oraisa, which granted, point in favor of the Nezer HaKodesh, our Tosa certainly assumes that it's a din d'oraisa, then we could understand the narrowing to mamash akiyah mitzvah ba'alma, and then the question of the Nezer HaKodesh could get off the ground. But I still think that the chiluk between, you know, saying mitzvah and mitzvah versus mitzvah and reshus, the Rashi Shana says not going to be so bothered with that one.
Who's the earliest one who stakes out that it is only to Rabbanan?
Black on white? As far as I know, black on white, the Red Vaz. As far as I know. It sounded like it in the Meiri, but the first one who goes on the record is the Red Vaz. Yeah. Okay, so now working up the ladder, right, that was the easiest Gemara for us to probably resolve. The next most difficult Gemara for us to resolve is the Gemara in Menachos itself, Teshitu Kobetzes, right there, Alatar, says, I don't understand, this is, I think, the Tosos Chadashim it's called, I don't understand what the Rashi Shant is talking about. How can he say that Ein Ma'avirin means you're choosing between two different mitzvah options? The Gemara in Menachos, let's remember, was talking about which grain to harvest for the Omer. Should I take the near grain, or should I take the far grain? So, why does that fit into Ein Ma'avirin? So if you look, the Turi Evan, he isn't like even bothered by this at all. He kind of just skates over it because he says, he quotes Tosos and he's like, yeah, you know, what Tosos mean is if you have two different mitzvos or if you have two different makomos, that's Ein Ma'avirin. But like, well, hold on a second. If you have two different makomos, that was exactly the question of the Shvich HaShirayim. What exactly is the difference between the nearby and distant grain versus the nearby and distant part of the Yesod, right? Sounds like it's the same thing. So I think the answer that you bring, we want to say...
What he means is that the Mizbeach is one Cheftza, as opposed to, and so it's just different sides of one Cheftza, as opposed to here, this is actually separate, you know, this wheat, when it was planted, mamash, the nitzotzos of the wheat are crying out to be brought on the Mizbeach, and those nitzotzos are not going to be elevated in that way. They're going to end up being somebody's hot dog bun, and this wheat over here is a totally different wheat. That's probably what the Terebin means.
Could be. So I thought you could answer it, you could give a little bit of a different answer. This is not what Terebin says, but when it comes to the Mizbeach, so if we want to apply Ein Ma'avirin, let's put it this way. When it comes to the grain, there's no question that in theory, all of the grain is eligible for the Karban HaOmer. Right? If they don't find any nearby grain, you're going to take more distant grain. It's just a question of eligibility. Right? But it's all eligible. And then they're just competing over it. So what are we using Ein Ma'avirin for? We're using Ein Ma'avirin to tell us, don't use grain X, use grain Y. Right? Those are the two grains which are competing. In other words, it's not two different mitzvah, it's not two different kiyumim, but it is two different chafetz shel mitzvah. Masha Einkin, what would we be trying to use Ein Ma'avirin for in the Gemara in Zvachim by the Shvich HaShirayim? We wouldn't be using it for saying, absolutely, I have I have four different parts of the Yesod, and the question is just which one is going to take precedence. There, we're trying to figure out where the chiyuv is meirosh, right? It's not a question of two eligible chafetzas and which one is going to win. It's a question of creating the chiyuv bichlal. There is no chiyuv bichlal except for the part of the yesod the Torah is talking about. What we want to know is, and the Torah tells us, to spill the blood on the yesod, what is the yesod that's being discussed? That's not a question of Ein Ma'avirin. Ein Ma'avirin means I have to choose. This is in the Parsha, that's in the Parsha, then you apply Ein Ma'avirin. What the Gemara in Zachim is doing is telling us, they're only, Torah said Yesod. Well, what part of Yesod? There's a big Yesod. It goes all the way around. And so we specify, it is specifically the part of Yesod, which is Al-Pesach, Ohel Ohomoed. That's an issue of creating a Chov, as opposed to figuring out, right? So in other words, we say for Ein Ma'avirin, it doesn't have to necessarily be the kiyum, two different separate kiyumim. It could be two different mitzvos. You'll have a mitzvah with the distant grain. You'll have a mitzvah with the nearby grain. And that, I think, is probably what the Rashi Shants would answer to the Tosos Chadashim. There's a third Gemara, though, and this is the one which this question is asked already by the Tosas themselves. The Bali Tosas in Megillah ask on the Rashi Shants, and they say, how can you say that Ein Mavira means choosing between mitzvos? Isn't that exactly, as opposed to just, you know, what to do first, the case of Megillah? Adar Rishon versus Adar Sheni. So we're not choosing between mitzvos there. You're reading the Megillah, and the question is, when should you read it? Right, and based on that Gemara, Tosus rejects the Rashi Shants. They don't accept it. Now, the Turei Evan, if you saw, Turei Evan says the Bali Tosus and Megillah completely misunderstand their own Gemara. It says, the Gemara in Megillah has absolutely nothing to do with Ein Mavir and Alamitzvos. And he has an awesome diuk. He says, you'll notice that whenever the Gemara invokes Ein Mavir and Alamitzvos, it always makes sure to quote Reish Lakish. This is like the chiddush, the chap of Reish Lakish, the din of Ein Mavir and Alamitzvos. But just because the Gemara uses a phrase doesn't mean that the same phrase is the same din. Right, so we famously know a house is not always a house. And so he says, Ein Mavir and Alamitzvos in Megillah, that does not mean the formal din of Ein Mavir and Alamitzvos. What that really is, says it was a line, it was Shagar B'Fiyem, it was such a great line of Ein Mavir and Alamitzvos. But that really is, he says, is a din in Zrizos. I have a mitzvah, you do it at the earliest possible opportunity. All that is Zrizin Makdimin. That's what the Rashi Shants is going to respond to the Rabbein Yehuda.
The reason now, that's so sharp is because this is a totally different example than all the other cases. Here, it's a question of when did they intend for you to fulfill that mitzvah? You're not asking the question as the person who's doing the mitzvah. The Gemara is debating what was the takana. So the takana was, you should do it at the first available time. It's not the same thing as one person who confronts the guy and walks out of his house and he encounters a field as opposed to another field. There, the whole question about the nature of the takana, the Turi Evan's point is that it's not about you doing the mitzvah. It's about they were trying to figure out what the right way to structure it is. So they used that phrase, but it's not about one. It's not like you woke up in the morning and you're like, what should I do today? It's the 14th, it's Purim Katan. It's not about you. It's about what was the Tzuras HaTakana. That's what they're asking. You don't have a choice. It fits very well in the Gemara.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, just to push back, what the Bali Tosas and Megillah will probably say is they're saying, Eino Doma Zrizin Makdimin. Zrizin Makdimin means you have a Bris Milah, so you have the day for Bris Milah, so you do it in the morning instead of the afternoon, that's Zrizin Makdimin. But when the Gemara invokes Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos, so here it means literal, because what are you going to do? You're going to, by the Megillah is supposed to be read on February 12th. By making a leap year, if we say that the Megillah read in Adar Sheni, so then making the leap year itself is going to push the Zman itself of the mitzvah back a whole another month. So it's not a question of just, oh, we have a pre-existing Zman, and the question is when in that Zman are you going to do the mitzvah, which is Rizin Makdimin. No, the original plan was to have Zman X, and now the Bezin is going to come out, and they're going to say, not Zman X at all, push it off to Zman. Why? That I'm going to say is exactly, is Ein Mavirin is not a question of Zrizin Makdimin, right? So that's just a live question, how to understand that Gemara in Megillah. But I think you take all those pieces together, and the basic chilek of the Rashi Shants can hold, that the din of Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos, again, means when you have to choose between a mitzvah and something else. It's specifically a case of choosing, right? Ein Mavir and do not means the definition, do not pass it over for something else. It doesn't mean don't delay. Delay, different din. It means don't choose a mitzvah for something else. Now, the Rabbein Yehuda, the Tosas and Megillah right there, did not understand Ein Mavir in that way. It assumed, no, absolutely, right? You totally, Ein Mavirin, in theory, could be shayach to the Malkabot the Shech HaShirayim. It could be shayach to the Gemara Megillah, as it sounds Kipshuto. So therefore, it sounds like we're going to define Ein Mavirin for Rabbeinu Yehuda as don't delay a mitzvah. You know, you have an opportunity to do it at the earliest possible opportunity. So what's going on with Shvich HaShirayim? So he has a bit of a cryptic answer. He says, Shvich HaShirayim, we had a pasuk because we needed it even b'di'eved. Okay, very nice. In general, im avirin is an aspirational din. You know, parenthetically, if it's a din derabanan, that really makes a lot of sense. But if it's it's an aspirational din, now, here we have a din liyikuva of shrich hashayim. It must be on the yisod that is kenega the Pesach Oel Moed. The problem is, we saw this tosos, and at least one of us is going nuts. I understand what on earth does it mean. What does it mean for shrich shirayim to be ma'akiv? There's no such thing as shvich hashirayim being ma'akiv. Shvich hashirayim is just getting rid of leftover dam, right? The real kiyum was for the chatos pimios, you do the matnas dam and the mizbeach apnimi, shkayach, you had your kapara, now I have this leftover dam, what do I do with it? So you get rid of it by doing the shvich hashirayim, but it's analogous to...
ma'akiv the mitzvah of shvich hashirayim. You're right, you're performing your yotze, but you're not yotze the mitzvah of
shvich hashirayim. But what does
that
mean?
You put it in the wrong place. Pour the garbage, you don't get the mitzvah.
So it just means I didn't get the schar for the mitzvah?
Yeah.
That's it. So, okay, could be. It's not usually the... I'm not really sure what the kiyum would be. Could be. I guess it could be. Could be what they mean. All right, let's see if Evan was bothered.
Sorry, just to be clear, the point is that, let's say, for example, there was no leftover blood, so then there's no mitzvah of shir hashirayim?
Correct. And then,
no one's bothered by it. No one says, make sure to have extra blood.
It doesn't seem, again, we'll need to be very careful with shir hashirayim when we get to it, but the classic understanding is that you have full kapara after the matnas dam and the mizbeach, and the shir hashirayim is just the way to get rid of the leftover dam. So let me, where's the, I just want to see the Lashon of Tosfos Megillah. Does that fit the Lashon of the Tosfos? Ilav kra hava mina de in ma'avirin lechachila ha dieved shari. So I don't know about that. Shari sounds like mutter or aser. It sounds like there's still something that's left for you to do. You know what I mean? Shari, like it was, meaning it was mutter for you to spill the blood. It wasn't mutter for you to spill the blood. It was aser. But
meaning, let's say maybe saying like there's a shas hachak and you couldn't do it on that side. So maybe, you know, if it wasn't for the pasuk, I could. Hey, but yeah, I could do it on a different side. No, it's not sure. It was just in my beard. Okay, but I can't do it.
It was like there was a long line for Shri Hashirayim, and it was almost Shkia, so it's Sulina's coming up. So in such a situation, go ahead. Yes, it could be. I don't know. I hear it's a possibility. The Turi Evan raised this, and he fights to reject this answer for a very interesting reason, but this answer really seems to make the most sense. He says, probably what it means, at least what one might think it means, is b'di'eved, let's say you crossed the Marav, and now b'di'eved, you find yourself in a situation where you have passed over the mitzvah, and now I am on the northern side of the Mizbeach. You know, whoops. So I'm standing here with the Dam on the northern side of the Mizbeach. What do I do? Do I go back to the western side? Or do I say, you know, live in the moment, here I am, spill the blood. So that would be what the b'di'eved shari would mean. It would mean, in general, when it comes to Ein Ma'avir and Ela Mitzvos, we tell you, live in the moment. What's done is done. You already passed the mitzvah over. So now you have this opportunity. Go do it here instead. Why should you compound your problems? You know, especially if we think of it as an issue of, like Rashi, mitzvah bal yadcha al tach mitzana, delaying a mitzvah. So you delayed the mitzvah when you were on the west and you came to the north, and now you're going to delay the mitzvah more by going from the north back to the west. Just do it already, you know, just do it. So as opposed to, that's why we need the pasuk. That's what Rabbeinu Yehuda would be answering and saying when it comes to the shvich hashirayim, again, din prati, for whatever reason, it must be done by the chelek ma'aravi of the yisod. Turi Evan doesn't like that answer for a very important reason. Turi Evan says he thinks in general ein mavir nal mitzvos is ma'akev, quote unquote, in that sense. Meaning, if you miss the spot where you were, he thinks you need to go back. This is a big machlokas achronim. But the important issue to take away from it is that this seems to be the central nafkamina for maybe the other fundamental hakira we would ask about ein mavir nal mitzvos. Dehainu, is ein mavir nal mitzvos a din in the gavra? Right? Is this an issue of your kiyum hamitzvos? You know, you should do mitzvos right away? Or do we say that ein mavir nal mitzvos creates a din in the chafta shel mitzvah itself? In which case, we'd be saying, the chelek ma'aravi, by virtue of it being the nearest available one, it acquires a kinyan on now what the makam of the mitzvah should be. Right? The mizbech, because the mizbech is closer, so that becomes the one that should be first. The truth is, that really seems to fit our Gemara, now that I think about it. Our Gemara is defining the objective Seder Avoda, mitzad the chafta shel Avoda, from where the sequence for the Kohen is going to be. So you can say it's not just a din of, you know, Bizayon or your personal Kiyumim. If this is available first, so that is the makom that gets the mitzvah, quote unquote. Ein mavir nal mitzvos is a din in the chafta. That seems to be the consistent view of
the three of it.
Exactly, right. If ein mavir is just a din in the gavra, then you do whatever you do the mitzvos immediately, right? Do the mitzvos immediately. Again, this is a little bit subjective because you could be mafak fake. But you could bring that back to the fundamental hakira of Rashi versus the Ran. If we think of this as ein machmitzin, that seems like more of a din begavra. If we say, really, it's more of a competition between mitzvos, so that could incline to this creating a din bechafta. Again, you could be mafakfik, but I think in general, that's a setup that that makes sense. Okay. I also thought the more we think of ein mavir in al hamitzvos as rooted in bizui mitzvah, maybe that could enhance this as a din in the chafta shel mitzvah, right? Like, what's the mechayev of ein mavir nal mitzvos? If it's a din begavra, as Rashi says, it makes a lot of sense. The mechayev is like a din zrizus. On the other hand, if you say it's choosing between mitzvahs, that it's an issue maybe of bizui mitzvah, don't leave the mitzvah on the side of the road. So you're in mevaz of the mitzvah. So go back and fix it. Bizu equaling din b'chafta. Okay, just a couple of other.
So we haven't been extensive din in the chafta, and therefore he says that you go back.
And therefore he says that you always go back, and since you always go back, he thinks that cannot be what Rabbeinu Yehuda meant in the Tosfos in Megillah. That dafka here by the Yesod, you go back. Because in general, he thinks that imavir and amitzus means you go back. If you want just a quick example of an achron who just casually, without even blinking, assumes the Turi Evan is wrong. So the Karen Ora right there, the Gemara in Menachos. Remember, the Gemara in Menachos gave those two reasons. One being Carmel, that you need soft grain, and one being Ein Mavir and Alamitzos. So Karen Ora says, you know, it's going to be a Nafkamina between these two reasons. No, obviously. Nafkamina is going to be what happens if the Kohanim went too far. What happened if the Bezin went too far? So Mitzad HaKarmel will tell them, turn around, go back, get the fresher grain. Mitzad ayin ma'avirin, he assumes it's a davar pashut. What's done is done, and if they now find themselves in Yehapitzville, so okay, so you're going to harvest the grain from Yehapitzville, because of course, ayin ma'avirin is not ma'akev in that sense, and you just go weiter from wherever you were. It's just like the casual, he doesn't even imagine it as a possibility, the Karanoa right there, al-Atar. Okay, just a couple other issues I wanted to cover. We saw the Rambam in Avos. So Rambam in Avos is very, very interesting, right? The Rambam in Avos on Alte Mitzvah Kala. What's the line? Hevizar Mitzvah Kala Kibachamura, right? So the Rambam says that this explains two different dinim, and he seems to set them up as two sides of the same coin. One, he says, is Haosik Mitzvah Patrim and a Mitzvah. So that's interesting. Why? Apparently, the Rambam says, all Kiyume mitzvah sase are equal. And therefore, if you're in the middle of one mitzvah, don't drop it to do another one. Right? If you're in the middle of one mitzvah, you do not need to drop it to do another one. Osik mitzvah patra mitzvah, because despite what you may think, you can't tell the difference, so why not? All mitzvahs are created equal. Osik mitzvah patra mitzvah. Then the Rambam says, that's also the din of Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos. In other words, Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah is a matir. It's a matir to remain engaged in the mitzvah that you're doing. And then Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos is a machayev to remain engaged in the mitzvah that you're doing. They're really two sides of the same coin. Now, Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah is certainly, no one's going to ever ask a question of this, I can't imagine. Certainly a din d'oraisa. Right, no one's going to say that Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah is a din d'rabanan. I can't think. So you can wonder, does that prove that the Rambam thinks that Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos is also din d'oraisa because it's two sides of the same coin? Or maybe you could say no. You know, the final din is there's a heter of Osik Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah, and the goal of that is to make sure you take all mitzvahs asay equally seriously. And then midrabanan, on top of that, there's a machayev of Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos. You probably still could take that Rambam in both different in both directions. Now you could wonder what is the din in a case where we have certain objective criteria. You know, what if like I quote unquote know that one mitzvah is more valuable than the other? So the Turiyevin, how did the Turiyevin end up? How does he end up answering the question of the pasuk in for tefillin, right? We said according to the Balei Tosfos, according to the Rambam, who say that Ukshartim Lo Sal Yadecha means Kipshuta from the Gemara Menachos, that you should put the shel yad first. So why is that pasuk necessary, Bechlal? So what about the general din of Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos? So Tzuri Yevin says, you would have thought that you only have Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos when both mitzvahs are created equally. But when one mitzvah is mekudash tfei, I would have thought that I go with a mitzvah that's mekudash tfei. And objectively speaking, there's more kedusha in the shel rosh than there is in the shel yad. So this, I answer the Tzuri Yevin works, the Rambam, it's great for the Rambam, because the Rambam reads the Gemara like Balei Tosfos, right? The Rambam reads that Ein Mavirin on Lam Gimel Beis meant the order you put them away in the tick. It didn't mean which order you actually put them on. And so for the Rambam, this makes a lot of sense. Then you can ask a very interesting question: what was the Havamina? What was the Maskana? Right? Was the Havamina that because Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos is rooted in having Zera Mitzvah Kalaka B'chamura, because all mitzvahs are created equal, and so the Maskana then is it's like a low plug, mida oraisa, even in cases where you know that one mitzvah is more chash than the other. We say across the board, it's so important to us that you keep all mitzvahs treated the same, that we say even go with a mitzvah that has less kedusha when it has more. That's one way of understanding the Havamina Maskana. Other way, maybe, of understanding the Havamina Maskana is that what we learn from Ukshan Yosla Yadacha Utapas Beninacha is that don't equate the question of kedusha sachefza with the question of chumras hamitzvah. My havamina was, since the shel rosh is more mekudesh than the shel yad, therefore it is a quote-unquote mitzvah chamura from the shel yad. And the maskana is no. Kedusha l'chud and chumras hamitzvah l'chud. On the level of mitzvah saseh, we assume all kiyumim are equal unless we somehow would know otherwise, and the question of kedusha sachafza does not tell us that. So those, right, again, the Turi Evans answer for Balei Tosfos and the Rambam works very nicely for the Rambam, how to understand why you need the pasuk for tefillin. And then we have two different ways of understanding Havamina Maskana. Havamina, take it seriously, Maskana, lo plug mi d'oraisa. Or maybe the Maskana is, even though there actually is a difference in the level of Kedusha, even there's no difference in the level of Chumrah. Okay, I think just two more points and then we'll close. So the footnotes again to that Turi Yevin pointed out that the Turi Yevin was totally assuming that Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos applies to a mitzvah versus a reshus. Remember, that was the case of the full dam and the empty cup for the Karban Pesach. So I was like, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't we say Ein Mavirin? And we were able to understand that readily, even according to Rashi Shantz. If Ein Mavirin means choosing, so if you choose a mitzvah over a mitzvah, kol shekein, you choose a mitzvah over a reshus. However, he points out that in two places in the Shagas Aryeh, who is the same machaber as the machaber of the Turi Yevin, so one place he says, we do not apply Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos if you have a mitzvah versus a reshus. And in another place, he even says, we do not apply Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos if you have a mitzvah d'rabanan versus a mitzvah mid'oraisa. This is totally counterintuitive. Why on earth would I say that Ein Mavir in Al HaMitzvos is only an issue if I have a d'oraisa versus a d'oraisa? If you have a d'rabanan versus a d'oraisa, go ahead. Do the din d'rabanan. No problem. You have a rishus versus a d'oraisa, go ahead. Do the rishus. That seems totally, totally counterintuitive. I think the only way you can understand this is if you take the Torah Yevin and you like double down on the Rambam and Avos. And you say that what is the machayev of Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos? To make clear to you that have a zar mitzvah kala kibachamura. However, ironically, in cases where that is not a concern, no one's ever going to be confused between the chashivas of a rashus ba'alma, the chashivas of a dinda rabbanan ba'alma, versus a dinda oraisa. That's not going to confuse anybody. So ironically, that liberates you to go with the dinda rabbanan, go with the rashus, rather than the dinda oraisa. Because the issue at hand is not the bizui of the mitzvah, the issue at hand is not the chimutz of the mitzvah, mitzara chefza, mitzara gavra. The issue is a third concern, a concern for appreciating and not making chilukim between mitzvahs asay. But that concern is only going to be live if it is true in the level of Darais, level of Darabanan. That issue doesn't even make the bar, and therefore we do not need the din of Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos, because the din of Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos is only there to protect Hevi Zer Mitzvah Kala Kibachamur. That's at least the only way I can make heads or tails of that perspective of the Shagasari.
Which is still internally inconsistent, you're saying.
Why?
Because the Turi
correct, Yevin, yeah, there's no question. The Turi Yevin is not saying the same thing as Shagas Aryeh. Okay. That's undeniable, right? Shagas Aryeh and Turi Yevin not saying the same thing, but at least we can, you know... So he flagged it. He's like, oh, it's not the same Shita as Shagas Aryeh. To me, the more interesting question was like, what on earth is a Shita, what are they saying in the Shagas Aryeh? It doesn't seem to make any sense. So if someone has a better Hesper, I would love to hear it, but that's the...
By Tavishin on Tadr Tadr Kura, it's also only by two misses, no?
Yeah, but nobody's saying, but that's internal to Tadir. I mean, that makes sense. What's the whole din of Tadir assumes I have to do two things. Which one should I do first? The Pashtus is in Mavirin, is that the Machayev in Mavirin, like we said, is either Zrizus or is Bizui Mitzvah. So both of those aren't just value neutral. Which one should you choose first? It doesn't really make so much sense. It seems more like there's a principle here. There's an Isser. It's an issur of Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos. It's a problem. Whatever problem you're going to formulate when you have a Daraisa versus a Daraisa, you seem to kol shekin have for a Daraisa versus a Darabanan, or a Daraisa versus a Rishus. So unless we just make it some totally, again, some just Xeris HaKasav principle without any driving value behind it, which I don't think makes any sense in light of the, especially in light of the Makoros, and in light of the din itself. So it doesn't sound so compelling to me. Okay, you know what? Let's stop here. Right. So there's a couple more hours to make, but I think that's a good basic marachet. So again, we saw a whole bunch of gemaras which quoted the Navi and Mavir Nel Mitzvos, and we saw gemaras that did not. The three main questions we wanted to raise were: what is the is this a dinda raisa bechlal, or is it a dinda rabbanan? That's a machlokes in the Radvaz. And at least seemingly Rashi and Tosos. We saw within Rashi and Tosos, maybe linked to what your makar is, two basic ways of understanding Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos. Is this a din of choosing between, or is this a din of delayal? We went through the Rashi Shants and were able to kind of sharpen what his answer was in light of the various options that were there. We saw for him, Ein Mavir Nel does not mean creating a mitzvah, right? It means choosing. That's how he'll understand what's happening in Menachos. It probably doesn't just mean mitzvah versus mitzvah. It probably means mitzvah versus rishus for the Rashi Shans. That's how he's going to understand Pesachim. And then we saw the question of chefza versus gavra. Do we think of this as really, you know, you have a mitzvah b'liyadcha al tach mitzah, no? Do we think of this as, no, mitzvah the chefza, it's a bizoy mitzvah. The main nafkamina being, should you go back? And then we have the third perspective, which maybe comes from the Rambam, that it's not an issue of either one, it's an issue for, in general, we should appreciate that all mitzvahs are created equal, and that's why not only do we have a heter of osik mitzvah, patra mitzvah, but we have a mechayev of Ein Mavir Nel Mitzvos.